In your Bibles, the book of Malachi.
Where's that at?
It's the last book of the Old Testament. So it's right before Matthew. There's right there. Well, nearby, didn't it? And I'll tell the story again if you want, but I'd never heard. I grew up in the Catholic Church for 23 years. I'd never heard of the book of Malachi. Now, we had Bibles and stuff, but we never really had Bible study in the Catholic Church. That's not actually encouraged. Because a little knowledge is dangerous, a lot of knowledge is real dangerous. So, when I looked at this, I read it as Malachi. And I was wondering, is there an Italian guy writing this stuff? But I was corrected, let's just put it that way. Because that's the way I read it. Anyway, Malachi chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 6. Excuse me. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. I got to looking at this the other day, just actually happened to be passing by, and I'd underlined this where I'd read it before. And what kind of struck me is the first verse of this chapter, part of it. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Not exactly the most cheerful opening to a book of the Bible. The burden of the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord can be a burden at times. You know the old saying, I got some good news and I got some bad news. That's what Malachi got here from God for Israel. It starts out bad. And then actually it gets a little worse. Ye have polluted mine altar. But Malachi had this bad news to deliver from God, and Malachi delivered it. And the reason he delivered it was that Israel had earned it. And they got it. Now there's some good news if you're Gentiles in verse 11. there's better things coming for the Gentiles and the heathen. Then there's more going on, but I'm just dealing with this. And I guess that may not have cheered the Israelites up much, but it cheered me up when I read it. In the Old Testament, it talks about my name will be magnified in the Gentiles, because our day was coming. But I read this, and I remember reading a while back, and I read this, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Those are some harsh words. Now, he had just berated these priests for the offerings they were offering. You put polluted bread on the altar. You offered blind sacrifice, the lame and the sick. The sacrifice was supposed to be unblemished and healthy. Because the sacrifice, any sacrifice, is a picture of some type of Christ. It is to be as perfect as it can be in this cursed world. That's not what they were doing. And in polluting polluted bread upon my altar and saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, they were speaking badly, showing badly upon the sacrifice that was to come. Christ. And God kills people for that. If all they got with this warning, they got off light. Because Nadab and Abihu were struck dead for strange fire being offered. But he continued on, he said, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. But before that, right before that, he said, why? I have no pleasure in you. Why won't God accept a sacrifice from these people? Because he has no pleasure in them. Like I said, there was a problem with the offering, but the bigger problem was in the person, was in the priest. That's where the problem with the offering came from. Because there's a problem with the priest. I have no pleasure in you. I'm not going to accept your offering. Isaiah 66 and verse 3, put it this way. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. That's bad. He that offereth an oblation as if he had offered swine's blood. That's even worse. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. The next part says this. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. There's the problem. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. They have chosen their own ways. See, the problem there was not the ox. There's nothing said about it. The problem there was not about the lamb. Nothing about the oblation. It was about those that were offering it. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. That is never good. It took me a while to figure that part out, Walter. My way is usually the wrong way. My way is usually the wrong way. unless it's backed up by Scripture, you can pretty much bet on it being the wrong way. And here, even backed up by Scripture, Christ is saying it's the wrong way. They're going the way they chose. They're not going the way God chooses. The next verse, of course, says, is going to get worse. They've chosen their own ways, he says, but God says, I'll choose their delusions. They'll believe the wrong way is the right way. They do believe the wrong way is the right way. I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. They did evil because they have chosen. Walter, I got thinking about what we talked about the other day. Well, you said it last, I think it was last week. Cain and Abel. Another thing about growing up in the Catholic Church, you hear about Cain and Abel. You hear Bible stories growing up. Adam and Eve in the garden. Cain and Abel. Daniel in the lion's den. You know, Bible stories. I never knew the difference between Cain and Abel's offering. Never told you. I found out why. They don't know. They don't understand. They've chosen their own ways. Well, if you read it, it says, the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, the Lord had not respect. The Lord had respect to Abel, and the Lord did not have respect to Cain. That's the difference. Now, Abel offered the proper sacrifice. That's because the Lord had respect unto him. Cain did not offer the correct sacrifice. He offered an incorrect sacrifice. That's true. God said, bring a lamb. Somewhere, somebody told somebody. They knew enough to bring a sacrifice. I don't think they just thought that up in their own heads. Because men aren't that smart. But Cain did bring the wrong sacrifice, but that was because the Lord did not have respect unto Cain. Those men who will come to Christ that he spoke of and tell them about all their wonderful works that they've done in his name, we preached in your name, prophesied and done many wonderful works in your name. He doesn't say a thing about anything they've done to him. Christ doesn't mention a word about their works, wonderful or not. He looks at him and he says, I never knew you. Malachi wrote here, I have no pleasure in you. That's the same thing. Because Christ doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Which is on the next page. Because if God changes, it's going to be bad news for you. If God's for you, the only way he can change is to be against you. And you don't want that. I never knew you. Christ addresses their words. Actually, Christ addresses them and not their words about their deeds. And it's not that their deeds do not matter. It's just that the deeds are not the cause of the problem. So this is what the world's religion is. That's what Walter's been talking about. Going about. They have a zeal of God going about to establish their own righteousness. The deeds aren't the problem. I won't be a better person just because I don't go to the movies. Mostly I don't go to the movies because I'm cheap. And a lot of times I don't want to go. Doing something, not doing something, doesn't make you more acceptable to God ever. But that's the way man thinks. That's the way man is. Because that's how we value each other. What can you do? What can you supply for me? And the way you value me, what can I supply for you? It's natural. It's cursed, but it's natural. It's part of human nature. The problem is not their deeds. The problem is that they hate the light and love the darkness. The problem is not exactly that they don't know Christ, even though they really don't know Christ. Their problem is exactly what Christ addresses. Christ doesn't know them. And that's the only thing that actually truly matters. Because Christ is the only person who actually matters. Christ is all, and in all them that believe. If he states that he doesn't know you, that's because you're lost. And you're without hope, without Christ, and you're in the world. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 8 and 3, but if any man love God, if any man loves God, the same is known of him. If these men that came to Christ had truly loved Christ and did those works truly, did them in his name, Christ would have known them. And they would have already been in. They wouldn't have been seeking to get in. They'd already been in. John wrote it this way. Because it is true that if any man loves God, the same is known of Christ. But how do we come to love him whom we used to hate? We love him because he first loved us. In that order. We love him because he first loved us. We love the brethren because he first loved us. If this was Old Testament times and we were offering sacrifices, you'd be offering sacrifices because he first loved us. And that's not how these people were offering them. And that's not how they were offering them in Isaiah's time, even if it was a good ox, firstling of the flock, or a good lamb, perfect and unblemished and kept up for 7 days, whatever. If it's offered in the wrong spirit, if it's not offered through the love of God, it's of no value. We love him because he first loved us. And then the part that I thought of the most. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, and Paul stops right there, but there's a comma in our English, or rather are known of God. That's the more important part. Because if you are known of God, He will have pleasure in you. He does have pleasure in you, because if you are known of God, you are in Christ Jesus, the beloved Son. And it's not because of what we do. It's not because of what we don't do. Even though there are some things we ought not to do, and there are some things we ought to do. But that's not why. It's because we are known of God in Christ. And he asks, he says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You don't go back to what you used to be. We are surrounded by people who teach and preach and believe that after you're saved, well, that's when you better start working. Well, you will. You will. At first, most of it's in here, because there's a lot of turmoil in your mind. And Walter, you wonder how much you have to unlearn before you can start learning something. And then you sometimes think, at first, I'm never going to learn anything, because there's so much. But all you get is, well, it's good. You get a little at a time. You get a little at a time. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, and there a little. And it adds up after a while, if you keep up in it. The important part is to be known of God. After that, everything else follows. And you want to know the truth about that? Once you're known to God, then election happens. Because when you're known to God, it's before the foundation of the world. That's when you're known of God. He had to know you before He chose you. And He chose us before the foundation of the world in Christ. Sanctification of the Spirit, obedience, repentance, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Everything flows from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ to His chosen people. So I was reading this, and I was reading, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. But my name shall be great among the Gentiles. That's us. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. That's not us. That's Christ. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not what you know. It is not what you know. In actuality, in point of fact, it's not who you know. It's who knows you. And because of who knows you, you know Him. And it's because He loved us that we love Him. Because nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Because you know Him. Because He knows you. It just strikes me as how odd people who read the Old Testament, and all they get out of it is works, Walter. All they get out of it is works. They don't see the sacrifices offered as a picture of Christ, the offering that was to come. They don't see that the blood and bulls of goats could never take away sin. They weren't saved by the sacrifices. They were saved by the fact, hopefully, some of them, God had pleasure in you. Verse 2 of this started off, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons in the wilderness. The Lord had pleasure in Jacob. The Lord didn't have pleasure in Esau. The difference is Christ, not us, not our works. Anything good we do is because of Him. Anything good done is because of Him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time, this place. And Lord, we're most of all thankful for Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that He does know us, chose us, and gave us life. And the Comforter, His Spirit, and teaches us His will and His way in this world as we go on. In His name we pray. Amen.